Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to The Hotbed. This is our sixth series, and this is the podcast brought to you by The Hotbed Collective. We set up The Hotbed because we wanted to find out why women were having fewer orgasms than men, and what could be done to improve our sex lives, and how we could also work on our relationships. I'm Aniki Somerville.
And I'm Cherry Healy.
And Lisa Williams, our brilliant co-founder, is not here today. So she's here in spirit, but not in person. So Cherry, you're here today. We haven't got Lisa with us.
Sadly. Lisa, we miss you.
She's in spirit. And what it's taught me is that I'm not particularly good at organisation. She'll hate it that I'm saying that, but it's true.
She is so amazing.
We're going to be talking a bit later to Kat Sims. And she's someone who's been really vocal about, I suppose, what you do when your relationship goes kaput and hits the rails a bit and what you can do. You and I have always talked about it, and Lisa, we've always sort of, that's been one of our bedrocks, really, at the Hotbed, what happens.
And she's incredibly honest. I think in terms of people I follow online who talk about family and parenting, relationships, I think she's up there with one of the most honest people, because she talks about her relationship with her husband, Jimmy, very, very candidly.
And I wanted to ask, because I think in our book, More Orgasms, Please, we do actually did a little shameless plug there. We talk a little bit about those little signs that your relationship is a bit less sexy.
Yes.
So I think one of the first ones is they fart in front of you. Or it might be, the famous one is obviously when you do a poo in their house. Because for the first sort of 6 months, you pretend that you don't. Or when you stop putting makeup on, getting up half an hour earlier to apply makeup. Or when you wear sort of sleepwear, because, like, you know, sometimes you get into the routine once you're really comfy, wearing a really bedraggled T-shirt, which you use to wipe your nose at the same
time. It's really interesting because I have been married, but I'm in a new relationship. Mm. And so I've got the benefit of hindsight in a new relationship. So it's interesting watching how things are changing
so
with
really
very open eyes. So I realised recently that when my boyfriend Carl comes home, I don't automatically jump up, put down what I'm doing and go and hug him and embrace him. I sometimes like continue to watch television and go, hi, babe. Mm. So I've noticed little things like that. They change.
Have you done the, I was surprised actually. There's a TV show where someone was having a bath and then their partner came in and did a poo.
Oh, Lord above.
And I thought, actually, well, I assume they did because they sat down. So I was like, well, you must be doing a poo.
That's absolutely never going to happen.
That's not going to happen.
No, I've been quite clear about poo.
Do you talk
boundaries.
About tummy problems? So
yes.
Would you say, oh, I'm a bit, oh, I'm having a bit of the old constipation or I've got
yes. I'm not sure I want to, though.
No.
I think that happens, but I think maybe it shouldn't. I don't know. I think some people think that's really prudish, but I think relationships are so amazing and it's so easy to chip away at them. I think sometimes it's all right to have little boundaries. Mm. What about you? Do you talk about tummy problems?
I think that's a problem, yeah, because we've been together so long, 20 years. So if you think about digestive issues over a 20-year period, and also sort of post-baby, you know, I had a tear and stuff. We did talk quite a lot about, you know, what was happening and what wasn't happening and all of that. I thought it was quite interesting that when you've just had a baby, they focus a lot on whether the baby has had a poo. So they always say, has the baby done its first poo? And you're not allowed to leave the hospital until they've produced their first poo. I think that's right.
Because
they said, you know. But they don't talk about the mum doing the first poo. And actually,
for
many women, that first poo is quite momentous. Oh. But this is not sexy talk anyway. We shouldn't be talking about poo. But I suppose that's one. There's little things that happen in your relationship
absolutely.
Where basically some of the sexiness goes, doesn't it?
Oh, completely. Like when you check into a hotel as a new couple, first thing you do is go upstairs and christen the room. You know, you have sex immediately. Whereas I think the last time Carl and I checked into a hotel, we had a glass of wine. I put my makeup on and we were out for dins. And that was magical. I don't mind that at all. I actually think relationships change naturally and I fully, fully embrace that. But there are little markers, aren't there?
There are. Right, so we've got our interview with Kat coming up. And she was fab. She was totally honest and told it like it is. So I hope you enjoy it. We hope you enjoy it.
This is a sponsored post. This is a sponsored post.
We are so lucky to have Moon Cup, the original tried and tested menstrual cup, sponsoring this series of The Hotbed. Thank you, Moon Cup. Mwah, we love you. Well, rather, I love you. Anarchy, I need to convince you, don't I? What can I say to bring you round to my side?
Well, I don't know. I've been seeing this big Moon Cup thing all over the place. You know, lots of people talking about it. I've been out at clubs. People are talking about it. I've been at dinner parties. I've been outside the school gates. Everyone's talking about it. And you know me, I like to be a little bit cynical about these things. I'm probably a bit of a late adopter. And I had a few reservations, just put it that way.
Because you'll save loads of tampons and towels going into the waste stream.
I guess so. It's true. But I have a few little questions, and I guess one of them was they just don't look very comfortable to me. And as someone who's kind of all about the comfort, the dungarees, the large pants that come up right under my nipples, this Moon Cup thing, I'm just not sure that it's going to be comfy to wear.
I find it quite comfy and always have. I just stick it up there and forget about it until it's time to empty it. And I've always found it really, really comfy and unobtrusive. Once you've got used to the idea of sticking something up your vagina and then hoiking and taking it out again, it's really very comfy. I could windsurf, I could ski, I could cycle, I could do all of these things. I mean, I don't. I sit and listen to podcasts and get angry, but you know, that's beside the point.
Could you wear very tight white underpants and jump out of a helicopter?
Yep, actually, I do find that there's no leakage at all, whereas I find that with tampons, I find that I always would get blood down one side and then it would leak and I'd take it out and then there would be no blood on the other side of it, which is just bizarre. But with Moon Cup, it just collects the blood. And personally, I've never had an issue with leaking. So white pants, yeah, bring it on. White pants, white flares.
White pants, yeah. White pants. All right, so you're saying it doesn't, it's comfy, you can wear white pants, it's good for the environment. You're making it quite hard for me to sort of argue against using it. I'm getting quite fed up here because I can't really find any other reason why I wouldn't be using this thing.
Well, head to mooncup.co.uk, use the code HOTBED and you'll get 10% off, which brings each cup to less than 20 quid. Give it a go, go on. End of the sponsored post.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm really excited today because we have Kat Sims here. Cherry's here as well. Hello, Cherry.
Hello. Nice to be here.
Yes.
It's very nice. And thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, this is a lovely spanking studio as well, aren't we? We're right in the middle of Soho.
It's beautiful. It's lovely so to have Kat on, because I know she's one of the honest people. She says things that other people don't say. And she says things that her husband is, like, fine with her saying, but not many would.
Well, I would say he's 90% fine.
Yeah.
And also fine now, because we're in such a much better place. But obviously at the time when it was kind of crisis stations, he was like, don't talk to anybody. But now he sort of sees that the more I talk about it, the more people respond in a really cool way. He's like, actually, this is kind of a cool conversation.
I've learned so much about relationships from your honesty. So it's really exciting. I can't wait to dig in and get some more juice.
Give us a little introduction to yourself. For those of our listeners who aren't familiar with your work, how do you like to be known? What would be on your final gravestone in terms of brand positioning, I think they call it these days?
Yes, brand columns.
Brand positioning. messed about on Instagram for a bit.
Yeah.
I've got a blog called Not So Smug Now, which started as a kind of a lot of them did, as parenting, that sort of honest, this is shit vibe, which nobody was saying at the time. But inevitably, as my kids have got older, the problems change. You know, it's not breastfeeding and it's not, you know, all the rest of it. It's relationships and it's money and it's figuring out all those other pressure points that land on you as your kids get older.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'm going to dive straight in, because obviously the hotbed, we're well known for sort of talking about, I suppose, long-term relationships and actually what happens after you have kids. I mean, you've been really honest about the fact that you had a really, well, you said it was a really low patch, a really difficult patch, a patch where you were kind of considering separation.
Well, we weren't considering it. I had told him that that's what we were going to do. Like, right. That was...
Not so much of a question and more of a demand.
Yeah. It was more of a desperate decision that this was the only thing that we could do from now on. And it was actually almost a year ago. It was just after Christmas, actually, so January time. And it had just got to a point where I couldn't see a way out. And every conversation we had was just laced with resentment. It was snarky. We were in that competition cycle of who was more stressed, whose work was more important, who was more tired. And we just couldn't see a way out. And we were so angry. I don't know if I can swear. Can I swear?
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Oh, good. We were so fucking angry with each other that we were like drowning in it. And I just, in fact, I'd got a friend of mine had a flat near us and she was renting it out. And I said, look, I need this flat. And we're going to, I hadn't told Jimmy any of this, by the way, at the time. And we're going to bird's nest it. So while he's with the kids, he can be in the house and I'll be in the flat. And while I'm with the kids, I'll be in the house and he can be in the flat. And this is perfect. And in my kind of organizational way, I was like, got it, we're separating, I figured out a plan, it's going to be easy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I knew it wasn't going to be easy, but I was like, I've
at
got
least like the practicalities have been
right. Practicalities were done.
It's like buying stationery and thinking you've done your essay.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And then we sat down and I was like, and in fact, just before I went into the conversation, one of my friends called me and she was devastated. And she said, listen, just promise me one thing. Just don't lead the conversation with, I'm leaving you. She's like, at least just have one more conversation.
Because a lot of people would say that, I mean, if you get any women round a table talking about their relationships, they'll describe a lot of the things you're saying. So not talking to one another, doing sort of passive aggressive behaviour, you know, arguing about how much time you spent doing domestic stuff, not having sex, all of those kind of things. How do you actually know that it's reached a point? It sounds like Cherry's doing a wee.
It sounds like I'm doing a piss in the corner while you're talking.
Cherry's got
and if there's a
very absorbent panty liner on today.
There's a worse disrespect. I don't know. No, I was just getting my water bottle sorted.
She was emptying her sanitary towel.
Anyway,
so how do you know? Because it's quite a bold move, isn't it? Because I think my impression is that people just rumble along in this really low level, shitty relationship without actually doing anything. And you sort of think that's the norm. So I think a lot of people listening will go, that sounds quite a lot like my relationship, but how do you know that it's got so bad that I need to take the next step?
I think that's a really personal thing. And I think you get to a point where you can't stay. And that's where I was. It wasn't that I didn't want to stay. It wasn't that, you know, it was hard. It was that I physically couldn't, for my sake and for the kids' sake, continue like that. And at the time, I couldn't see another option. So I just made a decision that, for me, that was too much. And I honestly think for Jimmy, actually, it was probably too much too. But I also think that relationships, the majority of them don't break down because somebody does something really horrendous. The majority of them don't break down because you have an affair or there's some massive betrayal. They break down because it all just gets too much and you find yourself in this hole that you can't get out of. And some people can't. And sometimes the damage is done, and that I fully respect. Mm. But for us, thankfully, the one thing we always had, even though I was very resigned to the fact this was the only way, was that in an ideal world, if we could stay together, that would be the best option. Mm. And I think because we were both there, that last conversation that we had when Jimmy really, really realised that this, like I had a flat, like this was it. I guess it was like hitting rock bottom.
Mm. How long had it been bad for? And can you see some of the flags where it was starting to go wrong?
Since Billy was born.
Yeah.
That first year was absolutely like the acid on our relationship.
But wouldn't you say, because that's the thing, I've got a, Greta's going to be a one. And I think, Cherry, you decided, I mean, you calling something, a few people have been saying this now, you're being quoted about being in the rush hour all the time of parenting. I sort of feel like with the kind of one-year-old, like that first year, that's kind of probably the most difficult, probably on your relationship as well.
Yeah.
Was that a factor as well? Because it's just really hard, isn't it?
I would say it was the factor. And I think there was so much resentment and anger left over from that first year that we never tackled. You know, I mean, I had Billy, it was a really traumatic birth. I then sank into kind of undiagnosed postnatal depression. Jimmy was home for the first month and then he was away for 7 months. And there was just so many emotions going on there. Like he was mad that, well, he wasn't mad, but he was resentful that I couldn't seem to parent like everybody else. I just couldn't, like, why wasn't I mothering like everybody else did? It's the most natural thing in the world. I was mad because he was away. And then when he came back, he would like try to help, but take the kid, take Billy away. And then I'd just be on my own. And I, you know, and it was, there was just so much going on.
And how long ago did you have Billy?
She's six.
So she's six. So 6 years ago, I don't think there was a conversation about mental health and postnatal depression like there is now. And that's only 6 years ago. He must have not had any idea what was going on with you. And you must have felt the same.
Yeah, the only time I'd heard about postnatal depression was like on fucking EastEnders. Do you know what I mean? Like it was a storyline. It wasn't anything that really happened to people. Mm. And actually, it's really, really common. And we didn't discuss it. And I think we thought that just maybe the first year of having a kid was just supposed to be shit. Him protecting Billy, like he thought that was helping. And it was, like, don't get me wrong. I like needed her out of the house, but also he wasn't looking after me. And that was a big ask for him. But I felt like I wasn't important. Like he loved her.
It's funny,
you know what? Yeah. And I'm going to say it and nobody says it. I was really jealous. I was jealous that I felt like he loved his daughter more than he loved
me. I'm going to tell you a little story now to see if you can, because this is kind of hits it on the head. Is I think we went away for, when I was heavily pregnant last year, we went away for a few days to Ramsgate and we were sat in a Pizza Express looking out at the marina. It was very pretty. The sun was coming in and Paul sort of leant over and Ray was sat opposite us and she was five at the time. And he just sort of, he went to whisper in my ear and he said, don't you just think that Ray is the most beautiful person you've ever seen in your life? I mean, she's just so, she is so beautiful. She's just incredibly beautiful. And like anyone normal would go like, what a lovely
thing. What a great dad.
What a great dad. I was like, you fucking bastard. Like, I'm really pregnant. I feel really fat. I've had to spend the whole day at Dreamland just holding bags in the cold because I couldn't go on anything. And actually, in this moment, and that's a bit what you're saying about the jealousy thing, is that I felt guilty because I was like, I was jealous of my own daughter. But I could have really done with that compliment in that moment.
Yeah,
I really needed it. And she didn't, I don't think, because
she didn't give a shit.
She didn't give a shit. No. So is it a bit like that?
It's massively like that. And I think we don't talk about that. And I think when babies drop in, you're going from a two-way relationship to a three-way relationship. And I didn't mean that to sound as weird as it does. But that's a really tough dynamic to deal with.
It's also the amount of actual fucking work that you have to do.
Yeah.
It's like having a full... I don't know why... You know, some couples, if they're having difficulties, they say, oh, let's have a baby. But no!
No, don't do that.
Terrible idea.
The Band-Aid baby's like the worst idea.
Imagine if you're busy and saying, I know, I'm going to get another job, another full-time job that I have to manage on top of that. That's what it's like. It's like having full-time... And then you have to have a relationship.
Yeah. And nobody tells you that. You know, nobody says... People are starting to say... Oh, well, you know, having a baby is really hard and it might not all be, you know, sunshine and rainbows. And we're having that conversation quite openly now. But still nobody's saying, and by the way, it could really fuck up your relationship.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to have a huge impact. And unless you're aware of it, you could find yourself falling down into territory that you just don't want to be in, you know.
Fuck the NCT.
Yeah, fuck that.
I can Google how to put a nappy on. Actually, NCT should cover relationships almost exclusively.
Because the baby will survive. Babies are resilient. The baby will survive.
But you've got boobs and a nappy, you're fine.
You're fine. But actually, your relationship is the real bedrock mm-hmm. of what's going on. And if that goes wrong, then the whole thing's fucked.
So what took you into, because obviously you went into counselling and you tried, I mean, lots of people talk about counselling and I think some people are worried about trying it because, I don't know, maybe they think that it's a real signal their relationship's gone bad or they're worried about having to share lots of painful things from their past. What was your experience of doing it, if people are considering doing it?
Well, funny enough, we'd actually been in therapy for 3 years, but I'd been faking it. Jimmy, I love him to bits, but, you know, it's quite easy for me. He's got some fucking issues. And it's quite easy for me to make therapy all about him and his issues, which is what I'd been doing. I'd been sidestepping it. And I think we do that a lot in our relationships as well. You know, when we're mad with somebody or when we're feeling all these emotions that lead to a rage, we're very focused on the shit that they've done and the mistakes that they've made and how they haven't done the dishwasher or they haven't put the loo seat down. When actually, it's more important to spend that energy focusing on your own feelings, going, actually, what am I fucking feeling right now? Because it's probably not the dishwasher. Mm-hmm. It's probably something else. And in fact, this morning we had a blazing row, which...
How convenient for this
podcast. So
convenient. Thanks, Kat and Jimmy.
I went round to their house and I messed up all of their house and then I got their dishwasher and put everything in the wrong way because I wanted to spark
Well, then
off.
It wasn't you because there was nothing in the dishwasher.
Oh, okay,
that was
that's
the problem.
What I did. I took it all out. That's it. Yeah.
You've got to stop doing that, Aniki. We've talked about this.
So we had this row and he's obviously been away for 7 weeks and he's home and I was getting ready for work and I came down and he was just like leisurely having lovely calm breakfast with the kids. The dishwasher hadn't been filled. All of this stuff. And I started doing this thing where you just like stomp around and you slam cupboard doors and you like start talking really clipped sentences. And I exploded and went, well, it's all, I'm very glad that you're having a lovely breakfast, but you know, there's actual fucking adult responsibilities that need to be done, and just stormed out and went up and cried, like literally like ugly cried, and then did that thing where you talk to yourself as if you were having the conversation that you want to have. Like, but really, this is what I'm feeling. And actually I figured out that I was really jealous because when he's away for 7 weeks, my mornings don't get to be that calm. I don't get to have nice, calm breakfast with the kids. Mm. You know, I'm getting ready. The kids are getting ready. We're doing fucking spellings and the dishwasher and laundry. It's chaos. It's chaos. And then I shout and they shout and we all cry. And it's stressful.
Do you shout? Because that makes me feel... I've been going through
Gosh.
My mornings are a bit like that
I
as well.
I can lose my shit. And I just came down to Jimmy and I was like, listen, this is the shit that was actually going on. I'm really jealous because it just annoys me that they love you more because you get to be calm and I don't have that and it really hurt. And he was like, I didn't think of it like that. I get it. I'm sorry.
Let's get on to the filthy topic of sex, I guess. And obviously you can withhold as much as you like because I know it's
that's
it's
what
hard
he
sometimes.
Said.
Yeah.
boom, boom.
What role did that play? Because I mean, unfortunately we don't. Sometimes the sex sort of stops and then that actually creates...
I think a lot of the time the sex stops.
Yeah, and then it creates this real kind of distance between you because you kind of, you don't have, I suppose you just don't have any fun together anymore.
Also, there is something mystical about sex. It clears the deck. It really does.
It does.
It puts you back together again. But if you're so far apart that you can't do that...
And I think even though you're close together, sometimes sex is kind of... It's a big ask if you've got young kids and you work. I mean, especially if he's away for 7 weeks at a time, there's
that
only so much you can do. But there was definitely no sex.
For how long? Do you mind me asking?
I mean, we probably did it once, twice, three times a year.
Yeah.
So I think this
is
the real...
sustained amount of time.
Yeah, for probably 3 or 4 years. Yeah.
I think this is one of the things, it's a big sort of taboo. We were discussing it about the fact that people just don't... People often ask the question, how often is normal? You know, is it once a month? Is it once every 6 weeks? But I get this real sense just from talking to people that whether your relationship is in trouble or not, it kind of depends where you are. Obviously, in the first year, when you meet someone, you're often having sex a lot. I'm looking at you because I know you're still in the fresh stage. She doesn't
understand.
She
comes in stinking. I'm like, I don't know what you guys are talking about.
She's like, what? No sex?
I think this whole thing of
don't
just not...
I was married.
Yeah. This whole thing of not having it, it's a really big issue. We did an event recently and one of the questions in the hat that came up several times on post-it notes was kind of, we've just stopped having sex. We've stopped. And then sadly, a couple of other questions were like, I'm now thinking of splitting up. You know, what's the next step? Or how do I go and have a relationship with someone else? It's a big thing, isn't it? The not having sex thing.
It's a really big thing. And I also think that, A, people think that everybody else is having loads of sex and they're not. B, by the way. So if you think that you're not having any sex, but everybody else is, please put that off your to-do list.
Apart from Cherry.
Apart from Cherry. Yeah, she really is having sex. And also my friend, by the way,
it won't last. We've already like started to argue about socks and dishwashers.
I'm just waiting for that first thing. Has he farted in his hand yet and smelled it? No?
Anarchy. If that happens to you, you've got to
No
stop.
Wonder you're not having any
you've
sex.
You've got to
stop. No, but I'm just saying there's some key sort of masculine characteristics, like being the proud of being like proud of farting is often one
of
the
poo,
first
we
things.
Do poo jokes, you poo know, jokes. We go, oh, I need a massive poo, and it's like, okay, so here we go. You know, so it slips away quietly and quickly. Okay.
But I think I don't think everybody's having sex, but also I think that it's okay for the sex to simmer off a bit. I don't think we have to put that much pressure on ourselves. It's really natural. If you've got young kids and you're knackered, the last thing really you want to do by the time you've put them to bed, clean the kitchen, the living room, had a meal, maybe watched an episode of television, is then to go, right, I'm feeling super sexy, like, let's go and have a mucky cuddle.
And if I was sort of going to do the kind of we're travelling in a lift together and you're going to give me three tips on something that you've learnt from therapy that I could try with my partner if we're going through difficult times, because one of the big things is the way you communicate with each other, would you be able to grind it down to three tips, or is that quite tricky?
I mean, I think the first thing is to just always try and be gentle. Like, when you're feeling like you're going to rage, I just used to repeat to myself, be gentle, be gentle, didn't always work. But I think the screaming and the shouting can really escalate. And if you can't be gentle, then just fucking walk away. It's better to not have a conversation than to have a really toxic one. Mm. But also, I think my real kind of light bulb moment was when I realized that it's about focusing the energy on me and how I'm feeling rather than focusing on what I think is the problem, which is the shit he's not done or the things he said. Actually, if I can go, why is that pushing all my buttons? It's because actually, like this morning, I felt jealous or I felt unsafe or all of those things. Mm-hmm. Taking that time to go, what's actually going on? Because it's never about the dishwasher.
Mm. It's always something more significant, isn't it?
Yeah, it's always something more significant. I mean, occasionally it's probably about the dishwasher, but generally it's about going, actually, I need to focus on what I'm feeling rather than what I think he's done. Mm.
Right, that was Kat and her interview. What did you think, Cherry? Did you enjoy? Did you learn? Did you feast?
I learned so much from Kat. Every time I read one of her blog posts or her Instagram, I thought that was really eye-opening as well. Also really reminded me I must make sure that if there are problems occurring that I do preemptive therapy or preemptive honest talks rather than letting it build up and become a catastrophe. Mm. Did you enjoy it?
I did enjoy it, though I did spend a lot of time just wondering why you were so brown.
So tan. Listeners, I've just had
a
spray tan
at the moment.
I look like I live in Sri Lanka.
I know. I did think you'd just come back from Barbados. But it's just made me feel really, really poorly and sickly. So I think the first thing I'm going to do, we are in Soho, so I don't know if that's good for spray tan.
You've got to get a spray. I get one every single week.
I'm slightly worried about it, but I might do that. But again, I'm worried about getting my bod out and having that whole business where they come and squirt you.
I don't like someone spraying me because they are unpredictable.
Okay.
I do a machine. It's called Mystic Tan.
Okay.
And it's at the tanning.
That's not sponsored, by the way. So if Mystic Tan, if you're listening, we would love to
come
and sponsor us at the hotbed.
Can you tan us and sponsor us, please?
Thank you.
Anarchy, what are you reading at the moment?
It's interesting that you've asked me that, Cherry. I was hoping you would, actually. I'm reading this really good book by the Hotbed Collective. It's called More Orgasms, Please.
I've heard that's really bloody brilliant.
It's really brilliant. I mean, it's not in the Sunday Times bestseller list yet, but I've heard, and I did actually go to a tarot reader, it will be in the Sunday Times bestseller list.
I feel it deep down in my loins that it will be. What can you expect for a book that sounds as good as that?
Well, it's got a whole load of tips and advice on how to improve your sex life, how to have more orgasms, how to put bad sex behind you. It's got a lot of funny jokes in it, and it's coming out in paperback very soon in April, I think.
Oh, do you know what? I think I actually have read that book, coincidentally, just off the cuff. It's brilliant and funny and everyone should buy it.
And a few people, I think Michelle Obama, in fact, said that it was the best book she'd ever read in her entire life. I might not be right on that. That might just be a rumour, for legal reasons, I have to say that. Thanks for listening to The Hotbed. We really like to hear your points of view, but only if they're positive. So please like, review and subscribe. Share it as much as you like. So please tell your friends about us. And hopefully we will move up the iTunes charts and take over the world. Thank you.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.